Today I'd like to bring you a message out of the 119th Psalm, and I'm going to read the first 8 verses to begin with. The 119th Psalm, beginning with the first verse. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed, when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Today I'd like to bring you a message on the value of the Word of God. The Word of God has several different characteristics that I would like to speak on today. The first that I've read here in the first 8 verses of the 119th Psalm is that the Word of God has cleansing power. As we read about the testimonies, or the precepts, or the statutes of God here in this first 8 verses, we need to keep in mind that all of these things are found in God's Word. Christians today need a teaching of God's Word each and every week, not only on Sunday, not only on Sunday night, not only on Wednesday, but also at home. The problem with Christendom today is a lack of teaching of God's Word. Denominationalism is not various branches of Christianity as we would have, or as some would have us to think. Denominationalism comes from false doctrine. In the beginning of denominationalism, there was someone who was right and there was someone who was wrong, and the two split. And it has been that way ever since, and today we have some 300 denominations. We need to strive to find a church that proclaims the Word of God wholly and without keeping anything back as far as doctrines are concerned. Christians today need to be more Word-oriented. The Word has power to keep Christian people in line. The Word teaches us how to behave. The Word teaches us the things that we ought to do. The Word teaches us as Christians that we must all face the judgment seat of Christ. This is a time that is coming when Christians will face Christ for the works done in their body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. Now, this will not be a time of facing Christ for salvation to see if one is worthy to go to heaven. No, no, no. This will be a time that we face Christ to see if we have served Him in the proper way. This alone should keep our walk in line. This is a teaching that we find in God's Word. As I have said, the Word of God has power to keep Christians in line, and that is one way that the Word has cleansing power. But the Word also has power to render one clean who is unclean. Look with me at the 119th Psalm. As we will stay in this Psalm for a greater part of the message, we might turn to another couple of texts. But majority of our teaching tonight, or today, will be out of the 119th Psalm. Look at the 9th verse. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The question here is asked, where shall a young man cleanse his way? Or how will a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Now I realize, as we as Sovereign Grace Baptists do, that a man, a lost, depraved sinner, cannot on his own take heed to the Word of God. It takes an act of the Lord making one willing to come to Christ. But the Word is used in regeneration. We need to tell the lost world that they need to heed the Word of God. You see, the lost world out here is unclean. The lost world out here needs to be cleansed. And they can do this by heeding God's Word, as we have just read in that passage. The fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, beginning with the 25th verse, says this: Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, notice right here, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. The Word of God, when empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, has the power to render clean. When the Holy Spirit empowers the Word of God, the Word then becomes the power of God. It is the means, if you will, that God uses to draw His people to Himself. God's Word has the power to cleanse. Not on its own, but when empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, God's Word has the power to cleanse. I think of that verse over there in 1 Thessalonians that says, Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. You see, that's what's being spoken of here in the 119th Psalm. The Word of God came not to us as Christians in word only, but it was empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Believing God's Word, trusting in the promises of God's Word, will cleanse a lost soul of sin. What do I mean? I mean faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is what saves. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior is what saves. John 3:18 tells us that a believer shall not ever come under condemnation. But an unbeliever is already under condemnation because they have not believed in the only begotten Son of God. Believers, those who believe the promises of God's Word, which is inclusive of the Lord Jesus Christ, believers have been cleansed. Believing God's promises and following after them will keep a Christian's life cleansed. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you know Him as your personal Savior, you need to be in God's Word to keep your life clean and in the service of the Lord. We must move on. I have noted that God's Word has cleansing power. I would also like to note that it is a storehouse of good things. The 119th Psalm, the 18th verse says, Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The Word of God is God's Word. We notice the word here, thy law. The Word of God contains wondrous things, as we just read out of this. You know, we can read a lot of things out of books today. You can go through an encyclopedia and you can find a lot of things written in that encyclopedia. Some things of interest to you, some things they're not. But there's a lot of things in there. A lot is true, a lot is not. Some of the more scientific things I'm speaking about, evolution and such as this, are untrue. God's Word has the truthful answer to all of man's questions. Number one, we can know the answer to eternal life, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice some 2,000 years ago. We find the answer to eternal life in the Word of God. The origin of the universe. God is the origin of the universe. In the beginning, God. You don't have to go any further. God is the origin of the universe, and you can find this out in God's Word. Through believing God's Word and hearing God's Word only can you know true peace. You know, we can be peaceful from day to day as human beings living in this world. We might find something that would give us peace for a minute or two, or an hour, or maybe even a day. But true peace, that peace that lasts forever, that peace can only be found in God's Word. The answers to life's problems that come before you each and every day. We all endure problems. We all have problems in our life. Where can we find the answers to these problems? In God's Word. That same Psalm, the 119th, the 24th verse, says, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." You know, we should delight in the Word of God. It shows us that our salvation is by grace. It's not by anything that we've done. It's not by any choice that we've made. It's not by any card that we've signed. It's not by any aisle that we've walked. It's by the unmerited favor of the Almighty God. Our salvation is by grace. And God's Word tells us this. We don't have to do anything for salvation. Salvation is free and God's grace is free. Salvation is a free gift that God has given to His people. And the Lord's Word tells us this. That's something to delight in. It tells us that God cares for His people. God takes care of His own. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd doesn't lose sheep. God's Word tells us that God is in control. You know, that's a good thing to know. As you look out into this world and you see all the works of Satan that he is accomplishing in this world, and it even seems from time to time that Satan is getting a handle on things, be comforted in knowing that God is still in control. Satan's on a leash, brothers and sisters. God has a hold of that leash. Satan can't go any further than what God allows him to go. God is in control. God's Word tells us that we are more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. Where else can we find answers to life's questions like we find in the Word of God? God's Word is to be our counselor. You know, I can think back to when you were in school, and I know many of you can think about this. We had counselors that we went to help us along the road of school, to help us to go further, to help us to accomplish the goals that we had set for our schooling. God's Word is to be that in our life here today. God's Word tells us to put the Lord first and everything will fall in line afterwards. God's Word tells us not to be concerned about tomorrow. Take no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Be concerned about today. That's what the Lord's Word tells us. The Lord's Word is our counselor. It's the teaching of God's Word lets us to see fantastic things that we would not otherwise see if we did not have the Word of God. I refer back to that 18th verse that we read just a minute ago. "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law." You know, the doctrines in God's Word are a beautiful thing. You know, I can think that there are many Christian folks who will sit on a Saturday afternoon and they will spend hours upon hours reading a mystery novel when they have a book probably sitting on the shelf, drawing dust, that has some of the greatest mysteries that have ever been written. The Bible is full of things that man is not able to comprehend. You could spend a lifetime trying to know everything in God's Word, and a human mind just cannot do that. But I guarantee you, it'll keep you occupied. You know, pretty soon you're going to get to the end of a mystery novel. Pretty soon you're going to get to the end of a board game. Pretty soon you're going to get to the end of a movie. But you'll never exhaust God's Word. Try to find out something about the doctrines of God. If you don't agree with everything that is said to you on this program or another program or whatever, check it out by the Word of God. The Word gives us these fantastic things. Why should we not spend hours upon hours trying to find out the deep things in God's Word? I guarantee you they're in there. If you feel like you have accomplished and you know everything that is in God's Word and you know every answer that God has in His Word, the Bible says you know nothing as you ought to. But if you still feel like you know everything about God's Word that there is to know, I've got a few questions that I'd like to ask for you because I don't know everything about it, but I have that desire to. You know, it's human nature to love mysterious things. We have shows upon the television set that are making millions upon millions of dollars because they have unsolved mysteries and such as this. They have things that people wonder about. Human nature loves mysterious things. I guarantee you, brothers and sisters, there are some mysterious things about God's Word. There are some things that you will not understand, but you can definitely try. You can understand more about God's Word only if you get in it, however. If we get into God's Word, we can see and understand some fantastic things. You know, the Lord, by loving kindness, drew a people unto Himself. But after He did so, He said, "Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling." If you're not in God's Word, my instruction to you today would be get into God's Word. It is valuable to your life, and you need it. The 25th verse of the 119th Psalm has these words, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word." My soul cleaving unto the dust is an example of bad times that we have. He's saying here, when I have bad times, Lord, quicken thou me according to thy word. Many times the word quickened is used in conjunction with God regenerating one and drawing one to the Lord Jesus Christ through His word. But I don't believe that's what's being spoken of here. What's being spoken of here is the Lord using His word to enlighten one of His saints in bad times. When things are going bad and times are going bad, God's Word will enlighten one of His children. In God's Word only can we enjoy our salvation. We need to keep filled through God's Word. We need a good spiritual diet. You know, I know a lot of you are listening to this program today. You might be eating breakfast. You might have already eaten breakfast. You're going to go to church today, good Lord's will. You're going to think through church where you're going to eat lunch. You're going to go to lunch and you're going to eat a hefty lunch. Then you're going to wait a few hours and you're going to eat a hefty supper. And then you're going to go back to church, good Lord's will, tonight. Well, you know, if you keep a good diet on your physical body, what keeps us from keeping a good spiritual diet? We need such. We need a spiritual diet, and our food is the Word of God. We need it. It's valuable unto us as the Lord's people. It's valuable to the lost. I'm not saying that it will cause one without the Holy Spirit empowering it to be a child of God. No, but it will teach a lost man the way he ought to live his life. If a lost man follows it to the greatest extent that he is capable, it will cause him to be faithful to his wife and such as this. It doesn't hurt. God's Word doesn't hurt anyone. God's Word can always benefit us. You know, God's Word aids us when we are tempted with unrighteousness. If you refer back to when Satan tempted the Lord, what did Christ give to Satan? Christ gave him the Word of God. Christ quoted to him the Word of God. Several times he made the statement, "As it is written." As it is written. You know, we ought we ought to use the Word of God when we prepare ourselves to do battle with Satan in this world. Yes, we ought to be prepared. The 6th chapter of Ephesians, beginning with the 13th verse, says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of Satan, and take the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." All of these things that we are told to take up on as the whole armor of God point to God's Word. Notice what it says. Have your loins girt about with the truth. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Taking the shield of faith. Where do you get faith from? From the Word of God. Take the helmet of salvation, which and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If we are to be prepared for Satan and the world of unbelievers, we need to be prepared in God's Word. Only in God's Word can we prepare ourselves to do battle in this world. The 119th Psalm and the 41st verse says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word." Here the psalmist claims mercy which God offers through his word. God's word promises mercy to those who desire it. Listen to me. God's word promises mercy to those who desire it. Now, God has to put that desire in someone. But if you desire mercy, if you know that you deserve condemnation and you desire mercy, God's Word promises it to you. God's Word has a saving message, and that is it. The message is God saves those who come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans, the 10th chapter, the 17th verse, is a New Testament confirmation of this teaching that I'm saying here, that God's Word has a saving message. It says there, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." There's no way that you can have faith in nothing. Faith needs an object. And our object of faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our object of faith is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. The one who came to this earth and shed His precious blood in the stead of His people upon the cross some 2,000 years ago. Christ is the object of our faith. John, the 5th chapter, in the 39th verse, says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, for they are they which testify of me." This is another New Testament confirmation that God's Word has a saving message. Christ says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." If you know something about Christ, if you know something about His shed blood, if you know something about Him being your personal Savior, you found it out by someone telling you about God's Word and the Holy Spirit taking that message and applying it to your heart. All glory belongs to God for that. But He did it through His Word. God's Word has a saving message. And we need to carry that message forth to the lost of this world. The Word of God is a wonder. Excuse me. The Word of God is a wonder. It answers all questions that we could come up with. Yet, it cannot be totally comprehended. Not by man. Not by human beings. It is inexhaustible to us. For us to make a statement that we have covered the majority of God's Word, or that we know pretty much all of God's Word, is a ridiculous and naive statement. It cannot be totally comprehended, and it cannot be exhausted. The Word of God is a wonder, but the real wonder is that we do not make more use of it. I hope you've enjoyed the message today upon the value of the Word of God. God's Word is a value to His people. As I said at the beginning of the message, the problem that I see with Christians today is that folks just don't know anything about God's Word. They don't know in many cases what they believe. And those that do, in a lot of cases, don't know why they believe it. It might be just simply because that's what the church believes. It might be because that's what grandma or grandpa believed. It might be many reasons. But if you can't back it up with the Word of God, you don't really believe it. Take the Word of God and use it throughout your Christian life. It'll be of value unto you.